This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Many people garden so they can have access to fresh produce. Others garden as a relaxing hobby. But gardening can also be a way to bring people together and build community. And it's being used more and more as therapy for those experiencing emotional or mental difficulties. Joining us to discuss gardening as a community building and therapy tool are Campbell County Extension Office Horticulture Agent Sarah Stoles, and co-owner of Home Meadow Song Farm and director of the Community Garden Program at Turner Farm, Peter Huttinger. And you can join our conversation at 513-419-7100. You can email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Peter and Sarah, good to see both of you this afternoon. Thank you for being here. Peter, what are the benefits of community gardens?
Well, community garden benefits, they're multi. It can increase the habitability or the quality of living in a neighborhood, certainly, by taking an area that's maybe blighted or abandoned or just underutilized and making it useful. But then there's also, they're finding more and more people are looking at it as almost a therapeutic aspect to gardening itself, whether it be at home or in a community garden. And I think Sarah and I both have worked at different times with the veteran population, and we've seen very positive aspects of that. And then also at the Franciscan Community Garden, where I work with refugees from Bhutan through the Franciscan Ministries, and then also Heartfelt Tidbits, a relief organization for support organization for refugees, we see some very positive outcomes in terms of it creates an environment for two populations that have little exposure to one another to actually work together and become friends. But then also it provides for, whether it be the veterans or a refugee, it provides a sober activity. It provides something that's life-affirming and maybe in many cases builds a bridge with their past experiences personally of their families. A number of the veterans I've worked with in the past lived in this area, and so they had families, and many of them had personal experiences working in tobacco farms. So, growing fruits and vegetables is different than growing tobacco. But nonetheless, it was so interesting. We'd be sitting working in the garden, and this flood of stories would come out about, what they had done growing up and stuff. So it was a really unifying activity for everybody working on the site.
And Peter, you were talking about the Franciscan Community Garden. The Bhutan refugees are working on that. Tell us about the refugees.
Well, the refugees, the main connecting organization there is with Heartfelt Tidbits, and then also to Catholic Social Services. And so it was interesting the way it started. I was asked by the garden coordinator to do some technical advising for that garden. And now as a result of that, we're embedded educators. But one of the things that I sort of noticed and they had talked about, they said there was a little bit of a separation between the Bhutanese refugees and the United States gardeners, nothing that was negative. But there was a language barrier and different cultivation techniques. And so one of the ways we dealt with that is that we did, using a translator, I did an introduction to gardening classes for the Bhutanese, which is sort of funny because they're all subsistence farmers, so they knew more than I did. But what they didn't know about were our soils, our climate, and different sort of geographical issues. And so that's what the class really kind of focused on. And so it was very interesting. I ended up learning much about gardening as they did in terms of learning about their techniques, but it also, and then we also followed up with a series of classes for the United States gardeners. And so through working with both these groups, we then did a series of in the garden education programs to take those two separate classes and have people working together. And it's our program, which we call Work and Learn. And so people come and we do large projects or sometimes small projects in which the two groups work together side by side to accomplish a particular task. And so in that process, there is a building of community, but then there is also an exchange of information.
So for the Bhutanese refugees, I guess this has to make them feel more at home.
Yes.
And more comfortable and more welcome.
And more welcome. And one of the things that Cheryl with Heartfelt Tidbits would talk about is that with a lot of refugee populations around the world, when they go to an area and if they feel isolated, there can be, negative impacts of that isolation anywhere from just depression to suicide. And they feel that in Cincinnati, they've had a really good integration and reentry kind of for the refugees in this area, because there are a number of organizations providing different types of support groups. And if you think about it, the Franciscan Community Garden, that's 75 Bhutanese families and 75 United States there's 75 total plots, and half are Bhutanese and half are refugees and half are United States gardeners. So, you know, roughly 37 of each. So that's a pretty big sampling of people getting together and working together.
And how big is the Franciscan Community Garden?
It's about an acre fenced.
Okay.
Yeah, and so plots are between 20 by 20 and 20 by 40 feet. So it's different. A lot of sort of urban community gardens, it's a series of plots that are 4 by 10 feet or 4 by 8 feet. And so that's, you know, if you're coming from, particularly from a subsistence farming background, that's not much to work with. So there's a lot of things about the Franciscan Community Garden model that's very intriguing. It's a very positive and forward-thinking model for us to look at.
Mm-hmm. What about other examples of community gardens in the area?
Well, there's countless. And then Sarah can talk about the ones in northern Kentucky also. Turn it over to Sarah, then I can follow
Sarah,
up later.
Sarah, what are some examples of community gardening that are going on in northern Kentucky?
We have quite a few, especially down near the river in Newport, Bellevue, Dayton. You know, again, bringing these communities together and individuals on all different experience levels, from our youth, you know, in all different ages, ethnicities, religious backgrounds. So it's really awesome to, you know, again, therapeutically kind of leave our daily lives behind, if you will, come together, get our hands dirty. And even if you don't like to get your hands dirty, but sharing recipes, it's kind of like, you know, the garden, in my experience, is kind of like the dinner table. We all kind of come together and start chit-chatting about our families, you know, kind of leave politics, those kinds of, you know, hot topic items behind. And we, you know, and we really start breathing in that fresh air and absorbing, you know, the sunlight. And, you know, it's just a very cleansing, you know, therapy that I just have enjoyed. And in fact, that's why I'm here today, because in college, I had no idea what I was doing with my life. And so volunteered at the Arboretum in Lexington. And my supervisor at the time said, why don't you do horticulture? And I said, a what? And so here I am today. It was therapy to me. I enjoyed being outside. And, you know, I just share that every day in my life. And coming here today, the sunshine came out. And how can you not put a smile on your face, you know? I mean, to me, it just lifts my spirit up. And, you know, and I love talking about it. And I said, well, how, you know, ironic that we're here talking about hort therapy today. And it's almost 60 degrees, sunny. And, you know, the birds are singing. So, I mean, it's just, if you can't tell, it's just very uplifting to me.
Well, it sounds like this is something that anybody can benefit from.
Oh, absolutely.
The therapeutic benefits are something anybody can enjoy.
Absolutely. You know, like I said, all walks of life can enjoy this. It be from designing to, you know, maybe engineering something, planting, eating, harvesting, taking photos, journaling about a garden, a community, you know, just getting people together, or an individual just in your own backyard, front yard, wherever it may be. And, you know, working with the men and women at over at Fort Thomas VA Hospital with the PTSD men and women who have served our country, you know, made me realize the simplicity of gardening. And this one lady said, you know, it makes me feel good knowing that I have raised something from seed. I have never been able to raise something that was able to live.
And so this is being used as therapy for veterans.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So that was just very, you know, something as so simple as a pea seed or whatever it may be, you know, it was fruitful for her and it was just life changing for her.
So what is it about the ground, the earth, gardening? What is it that makes it so relaxing and therapeutic, Peter? I mean, it's amazing.
Well, I think one thing that's really interesting now with all the interest in probiotics and yogurts and different fermented foods, there's also natural bacteria in the soil, which is sort of the root of all of that. And so that they are finding that there's actually, from a physiological point of view, that it's helpful, healthful to be working and having your hands in the soil. So, you know, getting dirty is healthy. You know, it's like godliness is cleanliness is next to godliness. And I'm not questioning that, but also, I guess, when you're in the case of working in the garden, having your hands—
Some good soil is.
Yeah. Dirtiness is next to godliness. You know? So it's a really interesting thing. And I think that the— you know, one of the things when we worked with the veterans from a substance recovery program from the VA here in Cincinnati with Dr. Gaines, a psychiatrist brought groups out. And one of the things that was interesting, I mean, she would talk to them about sober activities. And so one of the things was is they try and introduce these folks to hobbies that they could do that don't involve sitting around having a beer or whatever. And things that are more active as opposed to watching television or playing video games. And so that's a very positive kind of aspect to it that I think that we really need to consider. Also, it's an activity that's not competitive. You know, a lot of times, like, say, playing sports and different things, it's about one person dominating another. So by its nature, gardening is most often more collaborative. And so I think that it teaches people to work in a collaborative, non-competitive way. And I think that's a very important thing for people that are going through recovery programs. I think it's extremely beneficial. And also even just for just regular old families, you know, to get together, it's something that can be done intergenerationally.
And is that collaborative nature part of what makes it such a good community development tool?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, there's absolutely. And that's one of the things, you know, like this Turner Farms Community Garden Program sort of byline is learn, grow, engage. And so the idea is getting people together to work and share.
Now, Sarah, you also work with the Kenton County Detention Center.
Campbell County Detention Center.
Mm-hmm. How does that program work?
Oh, it works great. So currently there's a work release program with the men, and on good behavior, they're able to go out and, you know, work out in the community. And so staff at the Extension Office, the horticulture staff, we have been trained to work with the men. And, you know, they come to our office and they work in our education gardens with multiple different, you know, tasks. There also is a commercial garden there on site at the detention center, which they, you know, I call that a commercial garden because they are actually growing, caring for plants that they then will sell to potential 13 vendors there in the community, restaurants or other local farmers markets there. So they get to really see that whole aspect of horticulture, agriculture, and hopefully that will plant a seed in their mind and possibly put that on a resume for job building and job career development for future when they are released from the center. So it is great. I would love to turn it in more of a career building series, though currently the detention center, their turnover rate is so high, if movement of the inmates is so high that it wouldn't be feasible, but it's great. I never have seen the same guy twice. So we're you know, get them fairly regularly during the growing season. And they work outside at the garden there on site at the center daily during the growing season. So and we not only, they give us their time and hard work, but we also provide, you know, tools and resources for them. You know, I love to educate. So, you know, I make sure to point out, you know, if I see a ladybug or if I see something blooming, I make sure to point out. And that always cultivates questions and, you know, and interactions. And we sometimes put our tools down and, you know, start examining. So it builds a sense of curiosity and hopes that ingrains with them, you know, future research for a job or possibly career, you know. And they say, you went to school for this? And I said, absolutely, you know, I went to school for this. And you can too, you know. You can work on somebody's farm. You can work for a landscaper. Or you can grow your own fruits and vegetables or plant a tree at your home or wherever life may may take you, you know, integrate some of this into your lifestyle. And then they, some of them, it's really awesome to hear not only just the men in the detention center, but it brings memories. Sometimes it's good and sometimes bad, but voluntarily they share that with you. And, you know, you just kind of let them share as they wish. And but most of the times it brings back memories. And one guy I recall is just bringing memories, working on a tobacco farm with his granddad and the smell that he said he remembers. So our sensories start to come back when we're in memories that when we're outside working in the soil, you know, it's just how just amazing it all is. And really, it's right in our own backyard.
How many inmates are involved with that?
Well, usually when we do a work release program with us, we get two or three at a time. But you know, in the whole center, there's quite a few men, and they have different jobs going on. So we've built a wonderful relationship with the detention center, and you know, the judge is very supportive of this program and our collaboration with that. So we're very fortunate to have that relationship, and all I simply have to do is call sergeant and request a few men, and we pick them up. So.
Do they earn the privilege of doing this or
yes,
okay.
yeah on good behavior, you know, so, and it also, you know, they're giving back. They do get like 16 cents an hour or something, but it's also, you know, saves our county a lot of money. You know, we're including our horticulture staff at the Extension Center, but they're, you know, I kind of calculate out of, you know, the time and money that we're saving in our garden and labor there at the commercial garden there on site. So we don't have to pay for labor on the detention center commercial garden. So it's pretty amazing.
How productive can these types of gardens be, Peter?
Well, it depends. I mean, with a high volume and highly managed market garden, we're not going to be able to compete with that because you're dealing a lot with volunteers. But it's also – there's a social agenda to these gardens. So the idea isn't to maximize. But for instance, at the East End Community Garden that where my coworker Joshua Jones manages that, it's a site that's around 50 feet by 130 feet. And not all of that's in, obviously, in complete cultivation. But, you know, he raised a little over 1,500 pounds of food last year. And around 1,300 pounds went to Parkside Church pantry. And the other was shared among the volunteers and the regular community gardeners on the site. Mm-hmm. So you can figure, you know, it's about $1 a square foot probably if you kind of really broke it down to actually usable space.
So if somebody wants
or a pound a square foot, I'm sorry.
If somebody wants to start a community garden, how do they do that? What are the first steps they should take?
We have a wonderful community garden startup guide. In fact, I was co-author on that when I used to work in Louisville, and I had a great partnership with the University of Louisville. But we worked on a guideline. So it's very simple, very user-friendly. So if anybody is needing that, I am happy to share that electronically. I only have one hard copy. But yeah, it's really easy. You know, gardening is great. And people, you know, I have gotten many phone calls. I would love to start a community garden. I have this lot. And maybe you need to take a few steps back before you plant that first tomato plant, because there's quite a bit to consider. You know, for example, your water source, very important. Mm-hmm. Insurance, liability, things that and soil. We need to make sure the toxicity and the health of the soil is suitable for vegetable production, for example. So, you know, I do have a checklist that, you know, I encourage people to glance over and look at. And then working with the Extension office, we can go from there and work on that. So,
yeah. And the Civic Garden Center also has a community garden development training program. It's an annual program people could look into. They go to their website. And Turner Farm also, we're in the process of developing new gardens also. And that we're more than happy to act for a consultation. Right now we're working with the city on securing some property in East Price Hill to do a large community garden there.
And we have a link to both the Turner Farm and the Campbell County Extension programs on our website, wvxu.org. And Peter and Sarah, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you. That was great.
Campbell County Extension Office Horticulture Agent Sarah Stoles and co-owner of Home Meadow Song Farm and director of the Community Garden Program at Turner Farm, Peter Huttinger.